welcome to another episode of Two Strike Noise, your weekly baseball history podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeff. Joining me through the magic of the internet is my co-host from the Pacific Northwest, Mark A. Johnston. Mark, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. It's going a lot better up here. We're allowed to leave the house, and as long as we're covered in plastic.
Well, good thing it's not hot, because that would just that would be miserable. But Mark, we've got an interesting show today. We haven't done one of these for a while. We're going to do a Tales from the Dugout.
Yes.
That means we've just got a bunch of short stories that aren't quite long enough for a full episode. And we haven't done one of these for a while. So we're like, I think we should do one. And lo and behold, we're the bosses of the show. So that's what happens.
Right.
It's funny how that works. But before we do that, we like to do some little bit of trivia, debuts, and some even shorter stories at the top of the show. So let's jump right into it, Mark. I've got a story that I found really interesting. I'd never heard before. 1992, the Giants versus the Mets at Shea Stadium. Willie McGee and Vince Coleman shared a glove for the entire three-game series.
What? Really?
Yeah. So Willie McGee at this point is on the Giants. Vince Coleman is on the Mets. Obviously, they were former teammates with the Cardinals. Sure. Willie McGee had three gloves, actually, but they were all stolen from the clubhouse. So that was a dick move by whoever did that. But
yeah.
So he had to borrow one from Coleman. You know, they were former teammates. They knew each other. So they figured it's okay. We can do this. So what would happen is they would just leave the glove in center field at the end of each half inning. You know, similar to what this is what players used to do way back in the early 1900s, all the way up to like 1960 or so. Players would just leave their glove out there at their position. The other team wouldn't use it, but they would leave theirs out there, and then they would just jog out there and pick it up and put it on when it was time to play defense. But it was a blue glove, so it looked a little odd for Willie McGee to have a blue glove being a Giant, but it was there. In Kangaroo Court, apparently, they fined Willie $2 an inning for every inning that he used the opposition's glove. The Mets fined Vince Coleman $5 for every catch that Willie made with Vince's glove.
That's even better.
Yeah, so some money was made for the Kangaroo Court on that as well.
That's classic.
So we know Babe Ruth hit some home runs, right? You've heard of Babe Ruth?
Oh, yeah. It took me a second.
The candy bar guy. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So from a five-year span from 1920 to 1924, so that's when the dead ball era ended, right there, really at 1920. Over that five-year span, Babe Ruth hit more home runs total than eight franchises did on their own.
Wow.
So Babe Ruth over that five-year span hit 235 home runs. The Detroit Tigers hit 218. Cleveland hit 209. Also not hitting as many, the White Sox, the Pirates, the Braves, the Senators, the Reds, and the Boston Red Sox over that five-year period could only muster 148 home runs. Almost 100 fewer than Babe Ruth on his own.
Yeah, the Babe kind of was a new intro to the world of sports.
The Red Sox, you know, traded him at that point, too. So those could have been, he could have doubled their home run output.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, but what was the musical? No, Nanette. That's what it was. No, Nanette. Which,
yes.
Again,
no.
It was an absolute successful Broadway play. They made a ton of money off of that play. So, well, yes, they sold Babe Ruth, but they sold him for a purpose, and it worked out for those people. Not so much for the franchise, but no, Nanette.
Wow.
All right, Mark, let's jump into some debuts, shall we?
Okay, what the heck?
Sure, let's do it. This show is debuting on July 14th. I've got a couple of debuts for you. This guy, I think you will remember, he made his debut July 14th, 1884, for the Washington Nationals of the American Association. I have to say that because there were two teams in 1884 called the Washington Nationals. This one in the American Association. Unknown Jones made his debut today. Do you remember Unknown Jones?
He's not really known to me.
Unknown, simply because they don't know his first name. He only played in 4 games. He went 5-for-17 with a walk. He was an outfielder, and that is all of the information I have on him. That's it. But well,
18 plate appearances. He had a .333 on base percentage, you know. He should have maybe considered a career.
Well, that Nats team, they finished dead last that year with a 12-51 record. Oof. The New York Metropolitans paced the American Association, finishing with a 75-32 mark to take the pennant. So,
oh, 12 wins.
12 Ouch. Wins. Yeah. So,
yeah. And imagine if Unknown had been there for the whole season, they might have won 15.
They could have. Oh, good old Unknown. If you look up Unknown in Baseball Reference, there are so many just people that is all it is just a name on a piece of paper they found somewhere, like on a box score or on a score sheet. Yeah. I'm fascinated by that.
The thing about Unknown is he or she really has a lot of great quotes too. You know, if you ever find him, and it'll be like, this great quote will be by Unknown again, that person, you know, it's crazy.
Not to be confused with Anonymous, because Anonymous is a different person, but
that's Anon. Yes.
All right. So the next debut I have, making his debut, this year or this day, excuse me, in 1946 for the Boston Braves was Alvin Dark. So Alvin Dark, I only know him as a manager, but he came up with the Boston Braves as a shortstop. He was the Rookie of the Year in 1948. So the year after Jackie Robinson was Rookie of the Year, it was Alvin Dark. Do you know Alvin Dark's nickname? Did you know he had a nickname?
Yes, I do, actually. Wasn't he the Swamp Fox?
Did you really know that? How did you pull that?
No, because my dad liked Alvin Dark a lot. And so I had him confused with Jimmy Fox for a second. And that's why. I went, why do I have him confused with Jimmy Fox?
Double X.
Oh, yeah, because he's the Swamp Fox. So I just kind of fell backwards into that one.
Yeah, so he's the Swamp Fox, which is a unique nickname. He's got another nickname that I'm not going to tell you because it's really not appropriate. And I will start before we go any further by saying that Alvin Dark flat out made a bunch of racist statements in his career, one of which even led to him being fired as a manager. We're just going to focus on the baseball here. So 1954, he won the World Series as a player with the Giants versus Cleveland. He hit .412 in the World Series that year. That's
wow.
That's pretty darn good. Then he went on as a manager. He won 2 pennants, one for the Kansas City Athletics and then one for the Oakland Athletics. He also won a World Series in Oakland in 1974 when he came in and replaced Dick Williams as the manager of the Oakland A's for that third World Series in a row. He won the final one there. Dark had played a role in one of baseball's just craziest plays. So I'm not sure if we've talked about this before. June 30, 1959, it's the Cardinals and the Cubs. Stan Musial's at the plate. It's a 3-1 count on the man. Pitcher on the mound is Bob Anderson. He throws a wild pitch that gets past Sammy Taylor, and it rolls all the way to the backstop. The umpire signals that's .4, but the pitcher and the catcher both thought that Musial had checked his swing and had foul-tipped it. And so they both are thinking that the ball is dead, but it's, you know, the umpire said that's .4 and it's still in play. So the pitcher and the catcher start arguing with the umpire. And so Musial is jogging down to first and he looks and nobody's picked up the ball yet. And they're arguing with the umpire. So he starts heading to second. So seeing that Musial's trying to get to second, Alvin Dark runs from his position and picks up the ball, you know, way back at the backstop. He's got this ball now, right? And absentmindedly, the umpire, Vic Delmore, hands another ball to Tony Taylor, the second baseman, who's come in the middle of this argument. So now both Taylor and Dark throw the ball at the same time because they've got two balls. They throw the ball. So there's two balls flying out there. Ernie Banks is out there. He's running around trying to get the ball. Musial did not see that there were two balls, so he just sees one flying into center field. Banks goes out and picks up with the closest one, and Musial starts just going around second. He's going for third because he just sees a ball going to center field. They throw the ball in and tag him out at third base. So as you can imagine, there's a bunch of more arguments. There's a lot of stuff going on. Eventually, Musial's ruled out. Oh my God. Just some shenanigans with a bunch of balls all in play and arguing, and I gotta imagine instant replay would have been helpful there.
Isn't there a recreation of that in The Naked Gun from the files of Police Squad?
I'm not sure.
No, it's not. It's just a very simple. Never mind.
maybe Major League 3. And thusly why we can't remember it, because we didn't see that movie.
I haven't seen that one yet.
So there you are. There's our debuts for the day. Let us now get on to trivia, because I got some trivia for you. Last week, I asked you a question. I don't know if you've come up with an answer or not. The question, who are the two active pitchers who have won both the Rookie of the Year and a Cy Young Award during their career? Any clue?
Okay, I have a guess on one. Two is just out of my range right now.
Okay.
What can you tell me? This is my guess. Was Justin Verlander Rookie of the Year?
I can tell you that he was.
Okay, I will go with Justin Verlander.
All right, there is one. So Justin Verlander was the Rookie of the Year in 2006, and then he won a Cy Young Award in 2011 and 2019. That 2011 season, he was also the MVP. So I think that's pretty good when you're a pitcher and you win both of those, right?
I think that you may have had a good year.
Yeah.
If you do something like that, you had to have had a decent year or something, I think.
Any clue on the second one?
I have no idea. I will go with Moogie Klingman.
No, he has won neither award, nor has he ever made it to the majors. I was looking for Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom.
Oh, God, I could have got that.
Rookie of the Year in 2014, sure. And he has won the Cy Young the last two seasons.
2 years, yeah. God,
in the National League.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So there you go.
What happens if you don't pay enough attention to both leagues?
Well, we're a baseball history podcast, and they're both active. So I really threw a monkey in the wrench there.
It was kind of a wrench of a monkey, yeah.
All right, so I got another question for you for next week. Who holds the record for being ejected the most in the World Series?
Oh, geez. Can you tell me, is it a player, a manager, or what?
It's a manager. I feel safe in giving you
in the World Series. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So think about it, because there are certain answers that come to mind when you think of managers and that ejections. And I'm going to tell you that every one of them has been ejected in the World Series. It's just who has done it the most, because an ejection in the World Series is kind of you got to really earn it. Because it's the World Series. So.
Yeah, they give you a little more leeway, but there are certain words and certain lines you can't cross.
All right, so you think about that. We're going to wrap up BP. Neither team took BP today, so the field is all ready to go. Nobody stepped on the lines or anything. So
beautiful.
We'll just maybe we'll play pop fly with a catch or something just while we wait.
As long as there's no surprises, man, that's just what gets to me.
This is an inside Mariners joke, so we're sorry, we apologize, but there you go. All right, like I said, Tales from the Dugout today. So we've got a couple of shorter stories, a little bit longer than we do in BP, a little bit shorter than we do on a regular show. Mark, do you want to lead us off here with some frivolity?
Sure, yeah. I because of the schedule we record on, we sometimes record a few shows ahead. Stuff like that. Or sometimes we record a two-parter and then anyway, it's all confusing. So we didn't record anything on July 1st. So I didn't have the opportunity to bring up one of my favorite days of the year, Bobby Bonilla Day. And we have discussed this before, but this time around, I have a few more players I wanted to mention that are also getting deferred salary. Bobby Bonilla Day is, it's an annual reminder that the Mets pay Bobby Bonilla $1.19 million a year in deferred money until 2035. Pretty sweet. But there are some others that are making some pretty decent money.
We might just mention that Bobby Bonilla has not played in the major leagues since 2001. So that's 19 years ago was the last time that he stepped on a field.
And he's got 16 more payments coming. A lot of people don't know Ken Griffey Jr. is still receiving deferred salary.
He is. And if you follow us on Twitter, you would know that.
$3.6 million a year until 2024.
Yep.
And that was it's the Reds that are paying him, not the Mariners.
Yeah, I was good. That's what I found most fascinating is it was the Reds who didn't he go from the Reds? He went to the White Sox and then to the Mariners. I think that was his path back to Seattle. But three teams ago, they're still paying him for another couple of seasons.
Brett Saberhagen was one of the first to do this, pitcher for the Royals and Mets. He was one of the first to do it. He's still getting, from the Mets, $250,000 a year until 2029. So not as much, but he was early on, you know, figuring it out.
I think he's still getting that Ford commercial money for his rap, right?
For his, well, it became a number one hit, I think. I don't really pay attention to that. Ichiro's getting paid. $12 million in salary each year. He got and deferred $5 million per season at 5.5% interest. He's going to get some pretty decent money in annual installments, and he gets interest on his, a lucky guy.
he also gets a portion of the back end and all, action figures and other merch like that.
Yeah, exactly. And my favorite was Jim Edmonds, who last played a game in 2010. But from 2010 through last year, the Cardinals were paying him $3 million a year. $3 million a year for 10 years just to hang out.
If you have got kids, you stay away from football. You don't want to risk it. No. Baseball, you've got a longer career. You've got so much more money. It is it's just put a ball in your kid's left hand as soon as they can hold it and just tape it in there. Don't let them ever let go, and off you go.
And then Jeff, one of your favorite players of all time, Manny Ramirez. I don't know why I said that.
I like Manny.
I know. I thought you did. He's getting paid $2 million a year through 2026.
But who is that? The Dodgers, the Red Sox, the A's? Who's paying him that?
That would be the Red Sox.
The Red Sox. Wow. I said the A's. That they signed him to a minor league contract and he never got called up. So obviously it wouldn't have been them.
It's funny because some of the pictures when I was researching this, a lot of the pictures had him with an A's hat on. And I was like, really?
Yep.
Funny, I don't remember that. And I looked it up and went, oh, okay.
Oh, as an A's fan, I remember that. Because I liked Manny. I liked Manny, but I just, like, don't. We don't need him.
Yeah. So anyway, the point of the whole thing was basically to say, you know, deferred money is really good once you get to it.
Who wants to defer us some money, some of that money? We'll take 2%. We'll undercut Ichiro.
Oh, yeah. And I guarantee you I can throw at least 3 outs during the course of a season.
You know, I think you could. Yeah. You would. I mean, guys would be up there and they'd be over swinging, I think. And, you know, they're going to pop one up or they're going to ground out just, you know, one out of every 20. Maybe of your Aevis pitches. So assuming you can stick long enough, I agree. I think you could. That means you have a possibility of making the Mariners roster this year. Is that everybody that is getting paid that is not playing?
Well, that's probably not everybody, but those are the highlights that
those are the big ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got something here that no surprise here. It starts with Ricky Henderson. But then it leads me into a story of my own, which I thought this was okay.
Oh, this is great.
So I saw a interview on YouTube with Todd Stottlemyre Jr. Remember Remember him? He was a pitcher. I remember him mainly with the Blue Jays. He was on those teams in the late 80s that always played the A's in the playoffs. He bounced around. He was also on the Cardinals. He was on the A's for a little bit. I think he was on the Yankees as well. So I was watching this interview with him, and the subject of Ricky Henderson came up, similar to what we asked Don August about, you know, if he's bouncing off of first, what are you thinking? But then Todd Stottlemyre paid him a compliment and said, you know, hey, everybody thinks Ricky Henderson is, you know, might not be the smartest guy because of the way he talks and stuff, but Ricky is actually kind of a savant in some, you know, he loves to play cards and he can always guess what everybody has in their hand and just takes everybody's money in the clubhouse. But he's also very smart out there on the diamond. And he said, so what happens when Ricky goes up there? He will, in between pitches, he'll step out of the box and he'll just look in the third base dugout. And, you know, if that happens to be the visitor's dugout, he'll just kind of stare in the dugout and just look at everybody there. So Todd played with Ricky, as I said, with the A's, and he got to know him and they became friends. And then, you know, Todd went on to other teams, as I mentioned, and whenever his team would play Ricky and they were sitting in the third base dugout, he said he would wait for Ricky to stare in the dugout. And what Stottlemyre would do is he would jump up off the bench and he'd start waving his hands and smiling and saying, hey, Ricky, you know. And this threw Ricky off. Like, it totally distracted him. And so the first time he did it, the next day during BV, Ricky sought out Stottlemyre and said, what are you doing? Don't do that. That distracts me. Which, why would you say that to a pitcher? I don't know. But it's just, it struck me as funny that just being goofy like that really threw him off his game. So that reminded me of when I worked at, you know, for the Braves, I sat right behind home plate in that camera well for, what was it, 5, 6, 7 years? I don't know what it was, but do you remember Luis Castilla?
Sure.
Or not Luis Castilla, Castillo.
Yeah.
He played for the Florida Marlins is what I remember. He was there for quite a while. Mm-hmm. He was their leadoff guy and I thought of him because I saw of this year he had in 2000, he had 626 plate appearances. He hit 334. His on base as a leadoff guy was 418, which is incredible. Wow. And he stole 62 bases. He walked 78 times. He only had 17 RBIs, which is kind of weird, but just an incredible year as a leadoff batter. But he had this routine that when he came to the plate, he would come up and at Turner Field, the third base dugout was the visitor's dugout. So he would come that way and he would come and he would stand behind the umpire and he would turn his back to the umpire and the pitcher. So he would stare right into that camera well where it was me, Wayne from TBS, the camera guy there. And then for a couple of years, I had some other people there that would hold the radar gun before they were replaced by a piece of metal that held the radar gun, which was a shame because we all had a good time back there. So he would come and he would stare there and he'd do his, you know, he'd make his cross and he'd do all this stuff. So we just started messing with him because he was staring right at us. So we would start, like, we opened balls of water and we just threw water on the plexiglass in front of us. We would, you know, do little skits and stuff. Like, Wayne would strangle me and I'd do like a Bart Simpson, you know, face and stuff. Just anything that he never cracked, and we never disrupted him.
You never got him.
No, but that story about Todd Stottlemyre distracting Ricky like that just reminded me of kind of the fun that we would have back there. And he was one of those guys because we saw him, because I swear the Marlins played the Braves like 30 times at Turner Field every year. So yeah, we saw a lot of them
games against the Marlins.
So I just wanted to tell that story about Ricky. And then that it just reminded me of some fun we had there at Turner Field.
What do you think? This is kind of a curveball, but what do you think we're going to see in a 60 game season? Are we going to see somebody break Ricky Henderson's record?
Which record? You
know, stolen bases in a season.
Yeah, that would be over 2 stolen bases per game.
It could be done.
Sure,
it could be. Not by a human. That's
it
all
could be done, yes, but it will never be done even in 100 62 game season.
Not with how the stolen base has kind of just fallen out of the limelight. I mean, maybe just someday it'll make a comeback. We'll see. Remember, a lot of people listen to the show. You like when we talk about nicknames, names of people, team names, etc. We've talked about the coolest minor league team names and stuff. Yep. I found an article that lists the 15 worst team names of all time. And I thought, man, this guy's pretty dead on. And the ones he picked, I thought maybe we could go through it and give a little two strike noise commentary.
All right.
Number 15 was the Philadelphia Whites. It's just bad. And this is from 1873 to 1875. So who knows if it...
We know what it was. They wore white jerseys. Exactly. They wore all white jerseys. That was it. Well, at least we hope that's what it was.
Right. You may have a team of the Whites now. It's not going to happen.
No.
Number 14, he's got the Brooklyn Superbas.
No, yes. I disagree.
B-A-S, Superbas.
Well, remember, just like four or five episodes ago, we went through the history of the Superbas and how that name came about.
Yes. I wanted to bring it up again because this guy did mention it as being one of the worst baseball nicknames.
Disagree.
Well, they ended up becoming a team that stuck around for a while. It became the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yep. I think that was like four or five episodes ago, the history of New York baseball teams. It was pretty interesting.
I think we talked about these guys too at some point, the Cleveland Forest Cities.
Yep. Oh, yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Because we talked about them in the Cleveland Spiders episode.
Yes. The Forest Cities. Apparently Cleveland is known as, I don't know if it still is, but was known as the Forest City.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Cleveland. Maybe it's very forested. I don't know.
It is not. Okay. I mean, I'm just in downtown when I'm there. But now, let me ask you this. So, you know, the Washington football team is under pressure and might actually change their name. So it would make sense if they did it for Cleveland and Atlanta in Major League Baseball to change their names. What would you like Cleveland to become? The Forest Cities, the Spiders, or something else?
I'd love to see them bring back the Spiders.
I would too, because they get such a cool logo. And
yes,
100%.
Yeah, I agree. Some of these teams might think about changing their name just to sell more jackets and shirts.
Everybody have to buy new stuff anyway, so you're going to sell a ton.
But the Forest Cities, oddly enough, they named the team the Forest Cities, plural, which was odd. And in the 1871 National Association, there was also a team called the Rockford Forest Cities. So two of the teams in the league were called the Forest Cities.
Well, I just told you at the beginning of the show, there were two Washington Nationals playing in D.C. at the same time.
Yeah, it's craziness. But Nationals kind of make sense. Having two Forest Cities? Why? Why would you do that? It's bizarre to me. But two of the nine teams were the Forest Cities. So when you said, I'm a big fan of the Forest Cities, you had to make sure they knew which one.
Well, the Canadian Football League, what are they? The Rough Riders. They've got a couple of Rough Riders.
It's not the same as Forest Cities, though.
But there's two teams with the exact same name.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a real name. Forest Cities to me, just, I don't know. Moving on, your team, the Perfectos, also had a St. Louis version.
I know, because remember that was Cy Young and the other good players from the Spiders were moved to the Perfectos and thusly making the Spiders have the worst season in the history of baseball.
Yes, they thought that the Perfectos name was just so freaking good. They had to keep it alive. How about this is a good one. I love this one. The Chicago Whales.
Yes. No, we've covered them. They were the first tenants of Wrigley Field from the Federal League.
Does this sound intimidating to you, the Whales?
Well, the Chicago Orphans, that was another another team from Chicago. Was that on the list?
The Orphans, my commentary on that was that they should have at least been, you know, had the team made up of actual orphans. So. It would have been both interesting and encouraging. So, so here's the other one. The Whales, I did want to say, I just don't find whales intimidating. Unless the game was played in the water, then that's a scary name.
Well, and you know what happens if a whale If you find a beached whale that can't breathe, check the blowhole for golf balls.
That's right.
And another, you know, another Seinfeld reference.
Hole in one. here's the thing, though, about whales is whales live in the ocean, right?
That's where they prefer to live. Yes.
In Chicago. Are there a lot of whales in Chicago? I'm missing.
Well, you know what? Another in the gaming world, a whale is somebody that spends a lot of money.
So maybe it was the casino owners or something?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Here's another one of my favorites. The Baltimore Marylands. So it's just like if you were to say where you lived. What's your favorite team and where do you live? Baltimore, Maryland.
I think we've figured out why this was, because there was a time when teams didn't have nicknames. So the newspapers would refer to them as either the location, the city, or the stadium. I mean, we talked about the New York Highlanders, who became the New York Yankees. They were called the Highlanders because their stadium was higher than, what was it, Ebbets Field. So they had the Highlands, so they called them the Highlanders. Some weird ways to do it, but I think we understand through our research from previous shows why it happens, which I think is pretty cool.
Historically, why they would be considered to call a team the Baltimore Marylands. Of all states, which do you think would be the worst?
The Utahs? The Texans,
right? The Texans? That's a good team name.
Oh, I was looking for the worst. The Salt Lake Utahns.
There you go. That's perfect. The Salt Lake Utahans. Number nine, he's got the Newark Peppers. They were named after a food, which, you know, okay, at least it's a hot, spicy food. It just doesn't sound like, if they're referring to like a red bell pepper, that's not a very intimidating name at all. If they're talking about like a habanero or a ghost chili, okay,
what are they on the SCOBY scale? Isn't that what it is? SCOBY or whatever? Schofield.
Yeah, exactly. When they were a really hot team, they scored higher on the Schofield scale. We have discussed these guys, the Brooklyn Tip Tops, which is, they thought, man, the Superba's name isn't annoying enough. How about the Tip Tops? We'll get a hyphen in there.
Just see the mascot as being like having a top hat and I kind of see the Monopoly guy, but he's dancing.
Yeah.
That's what comes to my mind.
Yeah, the Tip Tops. I don't think they always finished in first place, so I don't know what they called themselves then. The Hartford Dark Blues. Now, the Stanford Cardinal, right? We get that. Yeah. Harvard Crimson, get that. But the Dark Blues?
Now, okay. If you will remember back to a very early episode, we talked about the Dark Blues. If you remember, they were called the Dark Blues because there was another team that were the Blues, and they didn't want to go with the dual Forest Cities. They wanted to differentiate themselves, so they were the Dark Blues.
Dark Blues and the Blues. Other names that they considered: Off Yellows,
the Paisley,
and the Purple Pinks. So, number six, we got the Brooklyn Bridegrooms. That's a dumb name.
No, I remember.
I don't
that
even
one.
Know what I need to say about that. That's a dumb name. Number five is one of my favorite, the Pittsburgh Burgers, but not the hamburger or cheeseburger.
Yep.
Burg is in a village or a city.
In Pittsburgh.
B-U-R-G-H-E-R-S. Yep. Pittsburgh. So they were the Pittsburgh Burgers. That's kind of a funny name, you know, like the biscuits, but it's not. It's not a burger. It's not anything to eat.
Shout out to the Montgomery Biscuits.
There you go. Gotta love them. The Middletown Mansfields. Not sure what a Mansfield is.
Jane Mansfield?
Well, that's what I couldn't figure out. They would have done just as well as the Mansfield Middletowns. I couldn't find any reason why they were called the Mansfields. Maybe the owner. But there wasn't a lot of information on this team. So, Worcester Ruby Legs. There you go. The Worcester Ruby Legs, which if you've ever had Worcester Crab Legs, that's a really nice dish. But the Worcester Ruby Legs, they had the red stockings, apparently was taken. So they went with a body part instead, which is kind of odd. Number two, the Cleveland Infants. We already know number one's the Orphans.
A lot of baby names.
You ruined it for us. Well, for me. You scored for everyone else.
I tend to ruin things.
Yes, the Cleveland Infants. Can you imagine how intimidating it must have been to play the infants. What did their uniforms look like?
Were they I assume that their logo was very similar to the baby cakes, the New Orleans baby cakes,
which is awesome too. The infants, another intimidating name. If the infants played the whales, I would be so intimidated I would change channel. And then number one, of course, the Chicago Orphans. If they were sponsored by an orphanage, this guy says it would make sense. So there you go. It was a funny article. I thought maybe we'd throw comments in on the worst baseball team names of all time.
Yeah, you know, I think is what's funny is that we've hit most of those before. We've mentioned a lot of those teams before.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was fun to go over and I knew you would have some comments because you had done a bunch of stories on teams like that, the Spiders and other teams in their league and so on.
Yeah. Well, that was a good list. I like hearing those names.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks.
All right. So, let's move into another segment of our show. What do you say? We tend to do something here near the end of the show that people tend to like after having to sit through the rest of our babbling. So it is time for a segment that we like to call, and so we do, Wax Pack Heroes.
Wax Pack Hero! Gonna pull a Wax Pack Hero!
Now, Mark, I had an incredible pack last time that we met up. I finally got back on the board. I am now only trailing you by 4 points. The score right now is 17-14. We're playing, this first season only goes up to 20. So you're only 3 games away from claiming the title. So, Mark, this week I have got 2 packs of a 1988 score, the original score in the see-through packs. One of my favorite sets just because it's so pretty. The cards are so pretty, but
the inaugural version of Score was it was interesting. One, because the wrapping was something that we hadn't seen and was unique, and two, anytime there was a new release, man, it was exciting stuff.
Yep. No, and this was, and just how beautiful they were. They, and you know, Upper Deck, they really pushed everybody else with how pretty they could make their cards, which made them more enjoyable to collect. Definitely for me. So let's run through the rules here first before we get too far into this. First of all, we are using a May 1992 Beckett Baseball Card Monthly so that these cards, in fact, do have some value. I'm looking at the 88 score here from this issue. Not a lot of big money cards here. There's a John Smiley rookie card that's worth 20 cents for some reason. Bo Jackson, Rafael Palmeiro. The Matt Williams rookie card is really the big one here. And the Ron Gant are the big cards in this set. Not a lot of big money in this one, but they're fun to look at. So that should be good. Looking at the rest of our rules, a little bit different than just totaling what they're worth in Beckett here. Rule number one, if they're wearing real stirrups, that's good. You get an extra cent for that. Incorrect, and congratulations. If you are wearing the 2-1s, though, that's bad. You get a -1 cent for that one. If you are sporting a mustache, that's sweet. Nice going. You get an extra cent for that as well. And then, of course, if you are in the Hall of Fame, you're going to get an extra 5 cents. So that is big money there. So let's get ready now. I chose the packs last week, and I actually won, which was exciting and new. I'm going to let you go ahead, though, and choose, since you were the loser last week, choose which one you want, left or right.
I'm going to go with the one on the right.
The one on the right. Okay, I'm going to let you go first then.
Bring it. Here we go, kid. You'll never have seen such a cavalcade of incredible baseball stars as is about to come out right here.
All right. So, first of all, we've got our magic action card here, which is Forbes Field. That's funny. The history card in here is about Bill Mazeroski stunning the Yanks with his walk-off home run. So that's pretty interesting.
That's great.
All right, your first card is a Red Sox legend. Here he is, though, with the Baltimore Orioles. He's also played on the San Diego Padres, which I was unaware of until recently. It is Fred Lynn.
Fred Lynn. Yeah, one of the greats. You don't hear his name brought up that often. Fred Lynn was an amazing baseball player. One of only two players to win Rookie of the Year the same year he won MVP.
Oh, well, that kind of goes along with our trivia question with the pitchers, but...
Yeah. Do you know who the other one was?
MVP and Rookie of the Year?
Yes.
MVP and Rookie of the Year. Ichiro.
You got it. Good job.
Hey, there we go. All right. So looking at this, there is no value in Beckett's for this, but he is wearing real stirrups. So you do get 1 cent right off the bat. Next, we've got another Baltimore Oriole. I vaguely remember him. Couldn't tell you anything about him, but it is Ken Gearhart.
Yeah, doesn't stand out for me either. Remember the name? I probably remember the name from those cards right there.
Yeah, I don't really don't remember anything about him. He's got no mustache, though, and you can't see his stirrups. Obviously, his card is not worth anything. So nothing there. Next, you're going to no doubt have something to say about this guy. You always do. It is third baseman for the Minnesota Twins. It is Gary Gaetti.
Hey, Gary Gaetti, a lot of power. And, of course, the man who turned all the triple plays.
Yeah, Gary Gaetti of hugging the baseline fame. He has got no mustache here, but what? He does have real stirrups. So you're going to get 1 cent from that. No value otherwise. Next, you've got a Hall of Famer. Big money.
All right, 5 cents.
Possible big money here. He's got a mustache. He always did. But he is wearing 2-1, so that'll take a little bit of the luster away. Yeah, he has a brother who we've talked about who has officially appeared in a big league game, but never actually got into the game. But here it is, Mr. Robin Yount.
Gotta love him, man. Just an all-over superstar, man.
So this card is worth 8 cents in Beckett. You will get 5 cents for being a Hall of Famer, so that's 13 cents you will get to bring you up to 15 cents. He does have the mustache, but again, he's got those 2-1, so those both cancel out. But still, that's a big card for you there.
Absolutely.
Shortstop for the San Francisco Giants. I remember the Giants crowd used to chant Uribe for this guy. It is shortstop Jose Uribe.
I remember him. Slick fielder. And as far as a hitter, I don't know. I don't think he was a weak hitter, but I don't remember him being a star hitter.
Yeah, he certainly, I don't think he was great with the bat. 237, 223, 291, and 87.
There you go.
A solid shortstop with good range. When they lead with that, that pretty much tells you what you want to know.
It's like being introduced to someone. You want to meet my sister? She has a great personality.
So Jose Uribe's card's not worth anything, but he's definitely got real stirrups with his pony baseball spikes on. He's got real stirrups and he's got a mustache. So that'll get you 2 cents, bring you up to 17 cents. Oh, boy. So I've seen two of your cards here. And remember when I was going through and mentioning the big money cards? You have both of them. Your next card here is outfielder for the Kansas City Royals, Bo Jackson.
Oh, my. There you go. Mr. Two Sport.
So that card is worth 25 cents. He has got real stirrups. I don't think he's got a mustache. Well, he's got a thin mustache on the back. I cannot tell. I think Bo always had a mustache, though, didn't he?
Bo? I always thought it was clean. No, he might have been half the time. He had a pencil-thin mustache all over Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, on the back, he's got one of those mustaches that's really just hugging the upper lip. It doesn't go up to the nose. I'll go ahead and give it to you because I think he pretty much always had that. So that card is going to be big money. It's 25 cents plus the stirrups plus the mustache. So that's a 27-cent card.
Wow.
So that unfortunately means I have to do math, but I think that's going to bring you up to 44 cents.
Whoa.
My camera has lost focus here, but.
So have I. What's going on?
I think you've probably already won. All right, next is a left-handed pitcher for the Boston Red Sox. It is, and I believe he has become an agent since retiring, Joe Sambito.
I think you're right. I think he is an agent. Yeah. Sambito, lefty reliever?
Correct.
I remember him with Boston and Houston, maybe?
Yeah, so I was unaware of his. I mean, he came up in Houston in 1976, and this is an 88 card. He's still kicking around, but he's a lefty reliever. So
a lefty reliever.
We know what that does.
Folks, raise your kids to be lefty relievers. I don't care if you have to tie their right arms down to their side so they don't use it.
You really should, or cut it off.
Yeah. By the way, we're kidding.
Yeah.
We should put a disclaimer. Disclaimer, don't hurt your children. There you go.
All right. So that is not worth anything, but he does have the real stirrup. So that brings you up to 45 cents. Next, we've got a reliever for the Cincinnati Reds. I don't remember this guy. Frank Williams.
Not a clue, man.
Yeah, that name, I don't even remember that. I don't even remember that card. And I have this complete set. But
yeah,
he's got no mustache, no value in Beckett's, but he does have real stirrups. So he's good in my book. That's 1 cent there, bringing you up to 46. This guy's a catcher. He was around forever. He just looks like a typical professional catcher. Here he is with the California Angels. It is Butch Weiniger.
Butch Oil and Weiniger.
Again, never heard that nickname, but sure, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Card's not worth anything. He's got no mustache, got no stirrups, so nothing there. By the way, I did confirm, we've got our friend Chris from the Turn a Pair Baseball podcast just got the opportunity to interview Ron Kittle.
Oh, really?
And I asked him, I said, can you ask him, was his nickname ever Ma and Pa Kittle? And apparently he was aware of that nickname.
There you
go. So congratulations, Mark.
Thanks. I wasn't making it up. Just sort of making it up.
All right. Next, we are going to get back to our pack here. It is Nails here with the New York Mets. Lenny Dykstra.
Lenny D.
So that card's worth 2 cents in Beckett's. He's got real stirrups, so that's a 3 cent card. I think I mentioned it that recently Lenny Dykstra tried to sue somebody, but it was thrown for defamation, but it was thrown out because the judge said that Lenny Dykstra's reputation was so bad that there was no way anybody could actually defame him anymore.
Wow. When you've reached that level, you know, congratulations.
Takes some work. Next, we've got a pitcher, a left-hander for the Philadelphia Phillies. It is Shane Raleigh.
Yeah, I remember Shane Raleigh. Well, not a lot about him, but I remember getting a lot of common Shane Raleighs.
So, boy, another guy that's been around for a while. Came up with the Mariners in 1978. So, again, left-handed reliever. There you go. He's around forever. No value from Beckett, but he does have real stirrups. So that'll bring you up to 50 cents, and you've still got 6 cards left. Jeez. I was not expecting a high value, but you've got a great pack here. Next, we've got a second baseman for the San Diego Padres. He has, I believe he was an all-star. He has gone on to coach for several teams, and he has actually several musical albums. It is Tim Flannery.
Oh, wow. We should talk about that guy sometime.
Yeah, I went down a rabbit hole on YouTube, and he has got several. He's very talented. He's a guitar player and a singer.
That's great.
I think he made a song about the Cubs at some point. I don't remember, but that the card's not worth anything, but he's got real stirrups. So you're up to 51 cents.
Wow.
Next, relief pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. It is Jeff Montgomery.
Oh, man. Jeff Montgomery played for a good while, I believe.
So this is his rookie card. So congratulations. You know what that means.
That means it's got some value.
It's the only Jeff Montgomery card that has any value. It's worth 8 cents at this point.
Wow.
Plus, he's got real stirrups, so that's 9 cents. That's a 60-cent card right there. So
that's ridiculous.
Well, not a 60-cent card, but it brings you up to 60 cents.
That's a ridiculous 9 cents for that guy. Come on.
All right, so now you've got a Salute to card. It is a salute to Reginald Martinez Jackson. Here he is from 1982 to 86 with the California Angels. It's a good looking card. Let's see if it's got no value, though. Yeah, no value. That's kind of strange. But it's a good looking card. You will get money for this, though, because he's a Hall of Famer for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a mustache and he's got real stirrups on. So that gives you 7 cents right there.
Wow.
Wow. It's a good looking card, though.
Speaking of stirrups, though, I do want to point out, I can't imagine either Reggie Jackson or Lenny Dykstra wearing fake stirrups. It would be like...
Oh, I can Lenny Dykstra for sure. I guarantee you he did.
Old school guy.
I guarantee you he wore two in ones.
No way. He's too old school.
I'm defaming him by saying that he did not, but...
He's going to sue you. Never mind.
Nobody can do anything. All right. Next, you've got a rookie prospect. I think we've talked about this guy before, because he does have a great nickname here with the San Francisco Giants as a rookie, and this is definitely in Old Candlestick Park. It is Kurt. What is that man wearing?
Oh, Kurt man wearing. Nice.
So because it is a rookie card, it's got 3 cent value right off the bat.
Cool.
No mustache, no stirrups that we can see, but Kurt man wearing, there's 3 cents. That brings you up to 70 cents. Your second to last card is another rookie prospect. This one for the Cleveland franchise. It is outfielder Dave Clark.
I remember Dave Clark. For some reason, he pops out as a very adequate player.
I think we pulled him with, it might have been Don August, or it might have been, it was one of our former players that remembered him as a prospect as being kind of a big shot that nothing really happened.
Yeah. I think he was an adequate player though, from what I remember, but who knows? I got this hard drive in my head and it's got the worst filing system.
It's one of those that once it gets full, it just starts recording over the first thing. So you just, you lose that. No value in Beckett, but he does have real stirrups and he's got a mustache. So you are up to Carlton Fisk now at 72 with one card left. Now, do you remember what I said the most valuable card in this set was?
Ron Gant?
That's right. It's a Ron Gant rookie card. Do you remember what I said the value was?
Like 80 cents?
No, I said it was $1.50.
Nah.
Yes.
Watch out, folks.
Ron Gant, news anchor from Atlanta, Georgia. This is a rookie card. It is worth $1.50, plus he's got a mustache. Oh, so it's $1.51 that you've just laid it on me now.
Pour it on the 151, man.
So that brings you up to $2.23.
That's a crazy amount.
That might be our all-time high, period.
Yeah, I think it might be. $2?
Oh, but now I can see, looking at this card, the Ron Gant, the corner is definitely bent.
Oh, good thing we don't use grading system.
I'm going to have to knock $2 off. But wow, Mark, that was an incredible pack right there.
That was ridiculous.
Jeez. Congratulations. Wow. We might as well just wrap up the show now. Thanks for everybody. Join us on social media. Because there is no way I am going to be able to beat that. Unless I pull the same pack, which we have had happen before.
Yeah, it has.
All right. So let's take a look at my... Now, see, I saw Ron Gant at the bottom of yours when I opened it. I see Mike Bielecki as the bottom of mine. So
pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. My first guy, T-Rex, I believe was his wrestling moniker. The only power hitter with home run in his last name is Kent Herbeck.
Kent H.R. Beck. Yes. Probably not worth anything to you, but he was valuable to the Twins.
Yeah, well, he's worth 3 cents to me via Beckett.
3 cents?
Yeah. But that's about it. Next, we have got, wow, this guy was one of the dominant closers of the late 80s and early 90s for the Toronto Blue Jays. It is Tom Hankey.
Tom Hankey. God, I haven't thought about that guy in forever.
I mean, he was nails.
He was
up there with Eckersley and Quisenberry and Reardon. And I mean, this guy just was tough out there. No value for some reason in Beckett, but he does have real stirrups. I think that's embarrassing that he does not have any value.
That is kind of embarrassing. That guy was, like you said, he ranked up there with the top closers.
Yeah. All right. This guy we've talked about. You have several stories about him personally. He was managing the Tacoma team when you were a bat boy for part of the time. Here he is with the California Angels. It is Bob Boone.
One of the, I think, aside, he's in the top five of most games ever caught, I believe. I think Fisk still leads, or did Pudge pass him?
I couldn't tell you off the you said Fisk and Pudge. I know you're talking about Ivan Rodriguez when you said Pudge, but that's, yeah.
Was Pudge passed by Pudge, or is Pudge still the leader?
One of the Pudges. So this is a great card. If you look at it, if you can watch this on YouTube, he has got the half helmet on. So he's not wearing his hat, and he's not wearing a traditional, you know, batting helmet turned around. It's like a skull cap. And then he's got this mask that is from like 1960. It's barely bigger than his face, and it looks more like an early hockey mask than anything. But now I cannot see his stirrups because he's got his catcher's gear on. I'm going to give myself a cent, though, because I know he's wearing real stirrups.
Wait a minute.
We're very liberal here. And actually, you know what? I can see just there's like an inch between the top of his shoe and the top of his shin guard. And I can see a red stripe there. And Bob Boone wouldn't wear a 2-in-1. So I'm giving it to myself.
You know, as a guy that did his laundry, I want you to know, you're right, he didn't.
All right, next we've got a shortstop for the Seattle Mariners. It is Rey Quiñones.
Yes, always fun to watch, flashy guy. Didn't we used to play, I think we used to play Rey. Yeah, you know, instead of hey. Yeah, fun times.
All right, well, no value in Beckett. He's got a mustache. He's got real stirrups. So that's 2 cents from me. Now, I can usually tell where they're playing, but I can't tell here. It might be Kansas City. It's just a nondescript AstroTurf field with a blue wall that encompasses the entire thing. So AstroTurf in the American League, because there was no interleague at this point, and, you know, this is a road uniform, it's got to be Kansas City. There was no other turf, and you know, with a blue wall. I mean, right. I guess it could have been Exhibition Stadium.
No, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I think this is Kansas City, though. Exhibition is the only other place it could be, and I don't think that that's it. All right, next, I have got a right-handed pitcher for the Dodgers. I don't know this guy, Brian Holton.
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar for some reason.
He gets me nothing. No value, no mustache, no stirrups that I can see. Next, I swear we pull him every single week. It is Devo with the California Angels.
Yep. Oh, Devon White.
So Devo's going to get me 4 cents from Beckett. He's got a mustache and he has got stirrups. So that's 6 cents for Devo.
Wow.
Bully for me. We pulled him in your pack. Unfortunately, it's not Ron Gant or Bo Jackson. It is reliever for the Cincinnati Reds, Frank Williams, who we know was not worth anything except for the 1 cent for his stirrups.
At least he did that for you, man.
Way to go, Frank. Next, I got another right-handed pitcher. This one for the Toronto Blue Jays. It is Jose Nunez.
Jose Nunez. How long did he pitch for Toronto? Was he there a while?
Well, this is his rookie card, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
But
rookie card there, that's valuable then, right?
You would think so, but no.
Okay.
No value in Beckett, but you do get a point for the stirrups and a point for the mustache. Do I get a point? I can see his can of chew in his back pocket.
I think that you have to do a public service announcement now.
Yeah, we are a smoke. Well, no, we're not. We're smokeless, and we're just tobacco free here. So nothing there.
There you go, tobacco free.
Minus 1 point. This is a good card here. It is first baseman DH for the Toronto Blue Jays. It is a young and a somewhat svelte Cecil Fielder.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that should be valuable because people want that card. See the young Cecil.
Well, this was 1992, so he had not gone to Japan and come back and
I would think it might have some value now.
I don't know.
Maybe a nickel.
Well, back in the day, this was a 15-cent card, so that's big money for me, and he's got a mustache. So that's 16 cents, so I just doubled my score to 32 cents right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Here big cess. Yeah, watch out. Now, this, if Brad Balukjian was on this episode, he would be super excited for this because this is his favorite player. Pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, Don Carmen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So Don Carmen, not worth anything in Beckett, but man, does he have some stirrups. They are definitely real. I think, and you remember, so stirrups have the arches in the front and the back, but they also made stirrups that were just a line going straight up, and then they just had another thin line of fabric on top that would, you know, you'd pull up. That has to be what this is, because it is straight up and down, almost up to his knee. It is just a line, but it is definitely a real stirrup. So that'll get me 1 cent to bring me up to 33. For the now Scott Boras employed sports psychologist, Don Carmen. Next, we've got an outfielder for the Seattle Mariners. It is Mr. John Christensen.
Who?
John Christensen.
When you said Seattle Mariners, I'm rattling off who it could be. I did not rattle off John Christensen.
Yeah, I don't know who John is either. He's swinging and missing badly here in Milwaukee County Stadium. This is, he came up with the Mets, had 2 years with the Mets in the mid-80s, and then spent the next couple of seasons in the minors.
I don't know.
So no value from Beckett, but he does have a mustache, and he has got stirrups. So that brings me up to 35 cents. He is just... He's either fouled this straight down or he is so fooled on this pitch that it's not even funny. Next. Okay. I liked this guy's last name. This is great. I remember Sports Illustrated used to have an article that would come out every now and then called What Do They Make for Baseball Players? And it was just a small headshot of everybody and what they made. And this guy was always first on that graphic, Mr. Don Aussie.
Oh, Don Aussie.
It's A-A-S-E. Yep.
Yeah, I remember that.
He is not worth anything in Beckett. He's got a mustache, and he has got the thinnest of real stirrups there. It looks like he's actually shaved them down, but they're definitely real. That'll get me 2 cents to bring me up to 37 cents. I'm only like $1.90 behind you with 5 cards left.
No problem.
Okay, next we've got righty reliever for the Oakland A's, Mr. Jay Howell.
You know that guy.
I know that guy. I don't really have an opinion on Jay Howell. Believe there's any value there from Beckett. Just double check. No value. He does definitely have real stirrups, though, so that'll bring me up to 38 cents. Next, pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, Walt Terrell.
No, I remember Walt Terrell. Just don't remember anything about him.
Yeah, I think I remember his card more than anything.
Right, probably.
He's hiding the ball well, though. He's in the middle of his motion here, and he's got the ball hidden behind his butt, and he's got that big glove that looks like it has no pocket flapping out in front of him. But he's got a mustache, and he's got real stirrups. So I am up to 40 cents, which the 40 cents to me is generally a good score, but I'm just getting
it would be
beat up here. Next is, here he is with the California Angels. We obviously remember him best as the first baseman for the Boston Red Sox. It is Mr. Bill Buckner.
Bill Buckner was actually a very solid ball player.
He had a great career, but will always be remembered for that error in the World Series, Game 6 of the 86 World Series. I am going to call him out, though, because here he has got stirrups, a real stirrups. They're halfway up his shin, but he's got those GD high tops on that I just hate. They look so awful with stirrups. If you're going to wear high tops, you have to pull your pants all the way down. But I'm not going to minus points for it. He's definitely got a mustache, as he always did. That would be a 2-cent mustache if we were doing that. And he's got stirrups, so that's 42 cents now for me. Two cards left. Another guy I feel like we pull every single pack. It is a reliever for the Reds, Guy Hoffman.
We get a lot of Guy Hoffmans.
Yeah, because we never know anything about him. Not worth anything. He does have some real stirrups, though, so that'll bump me up to 43 cents. And then my final card is a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It is Mike Bielecki.
Mike Bielecki. So that's got to be worth at least $4.
Shockingly enough, it is not worth anything. Does have those real stirrups, though, so congratulations. That will bring me up to a Reggie Jackson total of 44. Well short of your total.
I promise you, Jeff, we were not trying to rub it in, you know.
My gosh, you absolutely killed me. I mean, just the Ron Gant card alone was enough to defeat me. Yeah. Almost the Bo Jackson card alone was enough to beat me. But the final score, Mark with $2.23, which has to be a new high. And me with a paltry 44 cents. So let's take a look at the standings now. That bumps you now up to 18 wins versus my 13.
Oh, my.
So we're getting close.
You got to win 7?
Your magic number is 2. I've got to win 7 before you win 2. So, and just remember, once we get to 20, we're going to wipe it clean. We've got some new rules that we're going to come up with, and we will start over. We will start anew, if you will. So congratulations, Mark.
Oh, thanks. Yes, it was a well-fought game. It was a lot closer than it looks in the score.
It was absolutely not. All right. So let's start to wrap it up here. We want to thank, as we do every week, all of our listeners. We really do appreciate you listening. If you want to tell somebody about the show, put it on social media, put it on wherever you are. It's just maybe not Parler. You can keep us off of Parler, but anywhere else, go ahead and share it with your friends, your family, your enemies, strangers on the street. It doesn't matter. We welcome all new listeners here. You can find us if you want to talk to us. We post throughout the week. We're pretty active on Twitter. We're somewhat active on Instagram. You can find us on both platforms at Two Strike Noise. That is at TWO Strike Noise. You can find us also on YouTube. Just do a search for Two Strike Noise Podcast. You can see the Ron Gant card and the Bo Jackson card. We post our Wax Packs Heroes when I remember to hit record. Post them on YouTube so you can see them, as well as some other videos there. Mark, they can also get a hold of us via email. You want to tell us how?
Yes, Two Strike Noise. Spell it out. TWO Strike Noise at gmail.com.
Also, we are on the Hot Mic app. You can find it on both Apple and Android in the App Store, or you can go to hotmic.io on the internet. Download it for free. Enter in the code 2STRIKENOISE, TWO Strike Noise, all one word. It's absolutely free. We like to watch some old baseball games there, and then we talk about it. So we do some fun things there. You can find all of it. We keep our Twitter up to date with all these things we're doing. So we hope you will join us again. We hope you enjoyed this show, but we hope you will be back next week. We certainly will be, not even given the option anymore. We will be back for another episode next week of Two Strike Noise.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day.